For those of you who may have missed the particular ad campaign from about a decade ago, the United Church of Christ proclaimed loudly and with banners hanging from their rafters and hullabaloo that God is still speaking. And several times over the years since then, a friend of mine who happens to be a Lutheran minister reminded me that the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America feels exactly the same way. The ELCA believe that the canon of Scripture is not closed and cannot be closed as long as God continues to speak. Today, in our Scripture, I believe, we have a more ancient authority saying the same thing. God continues to speak. God is still speaking. So here we have this transfiguration. What is that all about? Well, it appears to me that this gospel is all about change. And this change is heroic in scope. Matthew seems to be marking in this story the end of an epoch and the beginning of something new. Or perhaps because Matthew's gospel provides the most Judeo-ecclesial context of the gospels, we might say that this story is indeed not a beginning. Rather, it is a turning from some Homeric odyssey, a turning of a nation and not an individual or a few. We may also consider this a kind of birth in which the DNA of a theocratic and deeply religious culture is given over to the offspring of that culture. Perhaps a new realm is being born. In the language of the Gospels, a new kingdom is upon us. Perhaps we might even say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Certainly all the signs are there. Look at who are witnessing this event. They are none other than the head of the church in Rome, Peter, and of the church in Jerusalem, James, and some might say the symbolic head of the Jewish Christian diaspora, John. In the courts of Jewish law, two witnesses were required to present evidence in order to prosecute a case, and here we have three totally unimpeachable eyewitnesses. Who's going to stand against their testimony, huh? And the similarities between the Hebrew story of Moses on Sinai from the Exodus in our readings for today provide an equally remarkable witness to the importance of this event. Certainly, the relationship between the two stories would be clear to those who understood the traditions in those days as this gospel account was first told. Moses went up the mountain. Jesus went up the mountain. Moses was up there for 6 days before the voice of God, and 6 days was the length of time that we have in our gospel today after Peter acknowledged that Jesus was whom? The Christ. Whom? The anointed one. Who? The Son of the living God. The person accompanying Moses was none other than Yeshua. Jesus. And the lights, all those lights. The glory of God reflected in the visages of the prophets are key elements in both stories. None of these parallels, you might be surprised to learn, are coincidental. Let us not also lose sight of the importance of each of those prophets who happen to be standing with Jesus in this transfiguration moment. They are no less than the greatest of the prophets from the southern kingdom, that Benjamite, Moses, the writer of the law, as our traditions tell us and some historians dispute, the author of the first 5 books of the Bible, on the one hand. And on the other, the greatest of the prophets from the northern kingdom, Elijah, whose stature is so great that even today a chair is set for him at the bris, at the circumcisions. And even in our age, a cup of wine is poured for him in Passover meals across the world. The gospel writer Matthew, I don't have to say this more clearly, was making an important point in this transfiguration moment, and let's just say it was a pretty big deal. Something great is happening, and we are seated in the gallery. We have the best seats in the house. Out there today, something seems to be happening in our world of such heroic proportions that politicians from both sides of the aisle are acknowledging the change and touting it as fundamental to the songs they sing. I don't have to tell you, the world seems to be at a crossroads. Change is ubiquitous, and it is obvious here, right here, that change is now in the very fibers of this community, right here. We have been deeply aware of change for 8 months or so now, since Lawrence left. And change is underway, it must be said, not only here in St. Anne's, but in the Diocese of North Carolina, in the Anglican Church, and some would say in the greater church with a capital C. Perhaps we may consider that a religious culture is being given over into the offspring of this culture here. Perhaps a new realm is being born here in the language of the Gospels. Perhaps a new kingdom is upon us here. Perhaps we might even say the kingdom of God is at hand. In our stories for today, there is special significance to the glory of God being passed between these great players in the dramas that we have being played out. As I have spoken of here before, that glory, among other things, is a kind of an incandescence, a kind of inner flame that is passed. In the same manner as one candle gives light to the other, that light is passed. And interestingly enough, no candle is diminished by the sharing of that light. In our stories, it is clear that the source of that incandescence, that inner light, is none other than God. God is the source of the light in Moses, and God is the source of that radiance from Jesus, and God is the source of the light of faith in each and every one of us here. The proof of the presence of the long-awaited kingdom of God, my brothers and sisters, the realm of God on earth, is the flame of faith in each and every one of us here. Lit from the flames of faith that have preceded us in the DNA of our progenitors of faith for the centuries that have gone before. And the transfiguration story in Matthew is the telling of an event so important as to have shifted the whole world, from its previous course. It may indeed be nothing short of that promised day of the Lord from Isaiah and elsewhere, in which Jesus of Nazareth, from that long line of begats, a son of the house of David, initiates the most important change in history. The restoration of the realm of God on earth. This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus stands on the shoulders of the prophetic giants from the ancient and venerable kingdoms that formed for a time the united monarchy under David. In Jesus is the hope for the reuniting of the people of God into the realm right now. wherein the meek shall inherit the earth, and wherein the peacemakers shall see God, and wherein bushels will be cast off from the light of all, so that no light will be hidden, and wherein doing to others as we would have done to us supersedes all the law. Right now, in the changes retold to us in our stories, my brothers and sisters, God is there. God is there. God is speaking. God is active. God is there. In our world, in this place, and outside these walls, change is here and change is now. I believe the change of which I and so many others are speaking is Homeric in scope. The changes are real. They are full of unimaginable potential. And they sure are disquieting. They are scary. Clearly they were so to the witnesses, Peter, James, and John, who fell to the ground, overcome with fear. And they are disquieting to many among us right here, right now, in this place. Some of us overcome with fear. And this disquiet that seems to be felt among us, if in not in everyone, in many, this disquiet is normal. It is a part of the DNA of change, and it's to be expected. So what are we to do? I believe the answer lies in the words of the gospel writer Matthew. Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." Jesus came to them and said, "God is here, God is here, God is speaking, God is active, God is with you, God is here." Here. As we move into Lent, I hope you can find with me solace in these words and in the knowledge that God is with us. As we move deeper into the transitions here at St. Anne's, in the diocese, in the church with a capital C, and this world, let us find comfort in these words and in the knowledge that God is with us, that it is God who transfigures us and gives us the power to transform others. It is God who is still speaking. We would do well to listen. Amen.